Need your daily fix on mixed martial arts.
We're going to kind of recap Bellator 155.
From UFC 198.
Who's who.
Kind of a controversial decision.
And who's not.
I couldn't figure out why, and then it hit me.
Well, don't you fret, because Golden State Media Concepts got you covered. Get your daily dose of MMA podcast. Everything from the UFC, Bellator Fighting Championships, Extreme Cage Fighting, Invicta Fighting Championships, and so much more. Join us as we talk about some of the biggest names in mixed martial arts. We've got you covered here on Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC MMA podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and if you don't recognize my voice, that is because I do not normally host this show. That would normally be Tate. We actually co-host the Women's MMA podcast together, and as such, we recently had an interview with an author named Alistair Hendry, who wrote a book called Fight Game, The Untold Story of Women's MMA in Britain. And so we sat down with him today via Skype. He's in the UK, and we talked about this book that is about women's MMA. We played that interview as part of today's episode of the Women's MMA Show, and we also wanted to put it on this show as well. So I'm just here to give you a little bit of an introduction to that. Before we get to the interview, I want to give you a little bit more information on the book. As I mentioned, it is Fight Game, The Untold Story of Women's MMA in Britain by Alistair Hendry. And the blurb on that is, when Rosie Sexton fought Alexis Davis in 2013, she made history and became the first British woman to compete in the UFC. Fight Game reveals how Britain's female fighters broke down barriers, offering interviews from stars such as Sexton and the UFC's Joanne Calderwood. With its intimate take on the growth of the scene, landmark moments, and the personalities within the sport, Fight Game is an inspiring tale of dedication, sacrifice, and ultimately acceptance. Again, that is the description of Fight Game, The Untold Story of Women's MMA in Britain. And Tate and I sat down with the author, Alistair Hendry, today to talk about that book and why he decided to write it and who he spoke with, etc. So without further ado, let's turn to that interview. Hi, Alistair. Welcome to the podcast. It's wonderful to speak to you.
Thanks for having me.
This is my co-host, Tate.
How's it going there, my friend?
Yeah, very good, very good. You?
We're doing pretty good. We before we started this, we had a little some technical difficulties, as you know. So I'm just happy to be able to have you on.
Yes.
Yeah. I thought we weren't gonna make it at one point, but got there in the end.
Yeah, we made it through the tough times. Now we're ready to roll.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cool, good stuff.
So we are here to actually talk about your book, Fight Game. Mm-hmm. But before we do that, I would love for our listeners just to get to know you a little bit. So if there's anything that you're comfortable sharing, we'd love to hear that.
Yeah, so I'm basically a freelance MMA reporter. I live in Reading in the UK. And I got into MMA probably about... maybe about 6 or 7 years ago, so really not too long ago. I got into it after a friend of mine told me about the Ultimate Fighter series between Tito Ortiz and Ken Shamrock. And as I was saying before we were on air, at the time I thought what, Ken Shamrock, you know, the professional wrestling guy, you know, the world's most dangerous man. I had no idea what MMA was, no idea about the UFC. I was kind of aware of it, and then after my parents bought ESPN in our house, I kind of stumbled across the UFC again. I recorded a couple of fights, and I was kind of putting off watching it for a while. I just kept forgetting to watch it, and in the end, the first fight that I watched was, I think it was the first fight between Chael Sonnen and Anderson Silva, and I was just hooked straight away. Just the finish was incredible, and I was saying before, it felt like no one in the arena wanted Anderson Silva to win, you know. I mean, you know, there, if you told me that this guy was, you know, the greatest MMA fighter of all time back then, I'd have said, well, you don't really seem to be out popular, but, you know, it's just funny when you kind of come into the sport and know nothing about it. So I do a lot of writing in my spare time. I'm really not what you'd call a full-time journalist or anything like that. I've got a standard 9-to-5-day job, but I love MMA. I've got a big passion for MMA, and that's, of course, where the book came from, really.
Okay. Thank you for that. So go ahead and tell us about The Fight Game. Just give us a bit of an overview of the book.
So the book Fight Game, The Untold Story of Women's MMA in Britain, it was a funny one. It kind of came a little bit out of nowhere, really. So just to give a bit of background to the book, I've essentially covered a bit of a background and the development of the women's scene in the UK. So I've spoken to every female fighter of note pretty much in the UK, apart from one or two. So I've interviewed Rosie Sexton, Joanne Calderwood, Daniel West, going right back to the likes of Lisa Higo, Kelly Salone as well. And I spoke to them all and covered how the scene got going, how they got fights, perceptions of the sport. And I've also tried to take it right up to the present day and interviewed the likes of Kate Jackson, Kerry Hughes, Joanne Calderwood as well. It's something I'm really, really proud of. And I think that the nice thing is that I think I've managed to profile both the private and professional lives of the fighters as well, because as you both know, they're such interesting characters. I mean, for example, I spoke to a lady called Wendy McKenna, who's I think she had a few amateur fights with Cage Warriors and has recently turned pro. And I mean, she's got an incredible background. She was in the army in Northern Ireland, and now her daughter, Corey McKenna, is now one of Britain's probably best amateurs, and she's looking at turning pro now with Cage Warriors. Apart from that, I also spoke to Daniel West, who's got an incredible story. You know, she grew up in America, ran away from home when she was a child, and she was kind of in and out of care homes. And then in the end, she kind of relocates to Britain and finds herself fighting Rin Nakai, who is one of the biggest names in the sport in Japan. So, there's a lot of really, really cool stories in there. I'm really pleased to have kind of brought it full circle. I spoke to a guy called Ian Dean, who's one of the real prominent figures in UK MMA, Cage Warriors matchmaker. And I spoke at great length with him about the women's divisions. So, and I also kind of try to bring it to the present day as well and speak to the likes of Helen Harper and Brian Iterell, who are both coming through at the moment. And another thing, I also wrote a lot about the social perceptions and the connotations of the sport in the media. So, for example, I think a lot of media in this country don't really understand MMA or women's MMA, or that they're not as aware of it as they should be. So I've kind of tried to shed a bit of light on that. And yeah, it's something I'm really pleased of. So I'd love if people went out and gave it a read and gave me their thoughts. I'd be delighted to hear anyone's thoughts on it, to be honest.
Now, you know, I'm a big fan of women's MMA. That's one of the reasons why I was super excited about having you on. But even when you look at a whole, even some of the other journalists out there, a lot of times, a lot of the top journalists will skip over the women's MMA, genre pretty much, and pretty much primarily stick to men, which I've always thought is a big mistake, because I always think women, the women always steal the show, especially on UFC events. And wouldn't it have been easier to do a book about, let's say, like Michael Bisping or Dan Harding or someone like that instead of the women? I mean, I appreciate the fact that you did the book on women, because I think they don't get enough, enough PR. So I, what was your thought into picking women over the bigger names?
Because it's something which just hasn't been done, I'm absolutely stunned that there's not more books about just women's combat sports in general. For example, I've kind of searched on Amazon and a couple of websites. I mean, if anyone knows any more, you know, do let me know. But I think there's an America one called She's a Knockout, and there's really not that many other books about women's combat sports. I mean, I know, of course, Ronda Rousey and Nicola Adams and women like that have written biographies. But in terms of, you know, journalistic book from an educational perspective, there's really not that much. Plus, I think it'd be extremely difficult for me to get access to Michael Bisping. I mean, even though I've met him once or twice, he's so down to earth. He's exactly like he is on when he's in front of the cameras. But yeah, I think I'd rather do something which is a little bit untold, a little bit left field. And it's something I'm really, really pleased with. And I think the other thing about this is that we're at a time now where women's fighting is becoming a lot more accepted. You know, if you look over history, even from, you know, the Stone Ages and the Dark Ages and World Wars, you know, way back when it was always men fighting. But now in the modern era, we're seeing women in combat sports. And I think it's a really, really good thing, because I think especially at a time when, because of, you know, stuff like Instagram and social media these days, it's like there seems to be a little bit of society where women have to kind of, you know, worry about being feminine or beautiful or whatever you might have. Whereas, you know, I kind of wanted to say that MMA should be a sport for everyone, regardless of the gender, and that women can take up combat sports. And I think, as well as that, in Britain, you know, we have shown that with Rosie Sexton, Joanne Calderwood. Even aside from that, we had Jade Jones, who I think won an Olympic gold medal in Taekwondo in London. And we also had, again, Nicola Adams, who's had phenomenal success. She's turned pro now. And BT Sport in the UK have got her fights. So, yeah, I kind of just wanted to say, you know, women's MMA is here and it's a big thing. And I wanted to give a bit of background to it. And I hope I did that.
All right.
So what would you say to someone who would say that the women's fights are just not as good as the men's fight? You hear that all the time.
And I disagree with that, by the way.
I do too, but people say it all the time.
Yes,
they
no,
just
I agree
don't
with
think
you, yes.
The women's fights are as exciting or as powerful or as good. What would you say to them?
Well, it's an interesting one, because Kerry Hughes said to me, I think women's fights are more interesting because... with all due respect, if the level is a little bit lower, it's a bit more equal. And I think the thing is, women's MMA is still developing. If you look at, you know, Nunes against Rousey, Tate against Zingano, Gina Serrano against Cyborg, you know, those are three of really the most exciting MMA fights you'll ever see. Even Sexton and Ashlyn Daly, that was an incredible fight back in, I think it was about 2010 to 2011. There was barely any striking, but it was one of the best fights I've ever seen. So I think you're always going to get detractors. It's crazy right now. I mean, some of the biggest names in the sport have said that they're not a fan of women's MMA, but, you know, it's crazy really, because even though we're in 2017, there is still that kind of element of not like sexism, but I think we still do live in quite a misogynistic society in some ways. And things like sexism and racism and all those kind of things, I think you're always going to have people who unfortunately do keep bringing these things to the table. So you've just got to give it a chance, really. I know MMA is obviously traditionally a male dominated sport, but you've seen over the last few years, I mean, you know, even forgetting the likes of Tate and Rousey, you know, women like even people like Raquel Pennington, Juliana Pena, you know, these fighters are really some of the best in the world. So, women can fight just as well as the men. And I think they should, they should definitely be seen as, you know, equal in coverage and everything, really.
So what kind of research did you do for the book? I mean, obviously I've read it, so I know you talked to several fighters, but talk about your process for the research.
Yeah, it was really, really, it kind of just snowballed really. So I did the interview with Rosie Sexton, and after that I interviewed Laura O'Brien Howarth, Lisa Higo, a few others as well. And it just snowballed from there really. So I would literally spend hours and hours and hours just watching fights on YouTube, researching on Sherdog, messaging people on Facebook to speak to me. I think the really, really nice thing was that I think pretty much everyone who I messaged on Facebook actually kind of replied to me to speak to the book. So that was really, really cool. But yeah, I mean, it was an incredibly incredibly long process. There were many, many, many times where I thought this book isn't going to work out. I think I probably tried to interview Calderwood for about between like a year and 18 months unsuccessfully. because I think this is actually before she was in the UFC. So literally, like, I contacted her gym, I contacted her Twitter, her Facebook, yeah, it was because I was just thinking, like, I really can't write the book without Britain's most well-known fighter. So yeah, I mean, in terms of the research, it was really, really nice because I got to find out so much about women like Danielle West and a woman called Kelly Salone. It was so funny because she actually owns a cycling brand now, which essentially makes kind of cycling wear for women. And I was Googling her name and she was all I could find. And I digged a little bit deeper and I thought, oh, it's the same person. So, yeah, I think she had two fights. I think she had one amateur and one pro fight in around 2001, 2002. So I got to speak to her and she was, yeah, really, really funny, really, really approachable. And I think that was one of the really, really awesome things because I got to expand my knowledge of MMA so greatly and it never really felt like a chore. It was such a long, arduous process in places, and the amount of proofreading that I had to do on my own as well was quite sort of gargantuan at times, really. So yeah, I mean, if anyone out there was looking to write a book, it's a lot of work, but it's a very rewarding and enjoyable process in the long run.
Excuse me while I interrupt for just a quick second. We do have to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, Tate will be asking a follow-up question about Joanne Calderwood, and we have more conversation with author Alistair Hendry about his book Fight Game, so you won't want to miss that. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC MMA podcast, and we will be right back.
Check out the show built around the women of MMA. From the UFC to the extreme cage fighting, we got the fights covered.
Listen.
It's the Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast. The latest news of upcoming fights, discussions of previous matches. Join us as we talk to and about the biggest names in women's mixed martial arts, past, present, and future. When it's the women's fight game, you know where to listen to. The Golden State Media Concepts Women's MMA Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSMC MMA Podcast. Tate and I are talking today with author Alistair Hendry about his book Fight Game, and here is the conclusion to that interview.
Now, you mentioned Joanne Calderwood, and one of the big things, a lot of people in the States don't realize how popular she is in the UK, especially when you listen to her. And you listen to her voice, and she has that kind of I don't want to sound rude, but it's a very little, very soft voice.
Yeah,
but then
yeah,
she's
yeah.
this beast in the ring. about her popularity.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think the thing about Joanne is that when I was in Glasgow, she was probably the most popular fighter there. Probably on the same level as Bisping. I actually retweeted a picture of the line to interview her at the media day in Glasgow when she fought Courtney Casey, and it literally like snaked all over the room. And I think the thing about a lot of personalities in British MMA, you get the brash guys like Bisping and Paul Daly, those kind of guys. But then you also get, you know, Rosie Sexton and Joanne Calderwood, who are both just so, so sort of down to earth. You'd never think in a million years after speaking to either of them, if you knew nothing about MMA, you wouldn't think they were fighters at all. They just completely just, you know, buck stereotypes. And I think the thing about Joanne is that I think you could definitely see it in her Invicta fights. I mean, she's such an exciting fighter to watch. You know, she's got everything. She's got knees up the middle, the teak kicks. And I think Joanne Calderwood is a really, really good example of where British women's MMA is at. I mean, we're kind of you know, our very best fighter could kind of get like top 10 in the UFC. But after that, it's a bit of a glass ceiling, I think, unfortunately. And I think, yeah, I think Calderwood's got to the point where she can't, you know, smash people with her Muay Thai skills like she could in Invicta and Cage Warriors. You know, don't get me wrong, she's an outstanding fighter, but you know, she had a very close fight with Calvillo a couple of months ago, and right. You just think, you know, if that was before the UFC, maybe she would have won that, you know, landslide on points. But you know, having said that, she's lost to real world class girls. I mean, Jessica Andrade is an absolute beast. Even though she's one of those fighters who just manages to look incredibly small, whatever weight class she competes in. yeah, I mean, you know, if you saw her fight against Courtney Casey, you know, she really ran through her and really snatched the decision in the end. That third round was, she almost kind of took the decision out of the judge's hands there. But yeah, I think she's just incredibly humble, and I think she's got a really cool backstory. It's quite funny because Bryony Terrell, who I profiled in the book, works as a nurse. Kerry Hughes, who I profiled in the book, works in the police. And Joanne Calderwood also used to work in nursing as well. So I think it's really, really cool how a lot of these women come from, you know, very kind of respectable jobs. So it just shows that it is a sport for all walks of life. And I think, you know, Joanne Calderwood, she's got that kind of like human element as well, because she has, you know, had like everyday jobs and that kind of thing. And she's gone out to TriStar to really make it work. And I think she probably needs a good win or two now behind under her belt now. But she's definitely one of the most popular fighters in Britain.
Now, you mentioned the fact that, you know, the British fighters, they can get almost, it's kind of like a little bubble there where they can get to the top 10. They can get almost to the top 10, but they just can't get over the hump. But then you look at some of like the Polish fighters who are just breaking in everywhere. Why is there such a difference? In your opinion, that's your opinion.
It's so difficult. I'd really, really love to be able to tell you, but I think generally, apart from Bisping, really in the last kind of 5 years, we've just struggled to have anyone who can kind of get over the line. So, for example, you had Dan Hardy who had the fight with GSP, but he obviously went a bit off the ball and had those three losses towards the end of his career. I know Brad Pickett and Ross Pearson have been very much kind of win-loss. Brad's obviously retired now, but I know he was kind of struggling for a bit of consistency. But of course, that's no kind of disrespect to any of those guys, because they were legends of British MMA. But yeah, I mean, in terms of Polish MMA, I think it's really, really blowing up out there. I'd love to be able to tell you, you know, why there's been such an explosion of Polish MMA at the moment. I think because a lot of them are actually training in America, so maybe that's the way to go. I know Jan Blachowicz is doing good things at the moment. They've obviously got Jędrzejczyk and Omianczuk, and KSW are doing incredible things as well. And I know M1, I think they have a lot of shows in Poland, so. Yeah, I'd love to be able to say why a country like Poland is producing these stars, but it's a little bit like when someone like Ngannou steps up to Miocic. So, for example, you know, Ngannou was knocking everyone out, absolutely
exactly,
everyone.
Yes.
Then when he comes up against, you know, someone who knew has incredible wrestling. like Miocic, you know, he gets found out. And I think that's the thing. MMA is still a young sport. There are levels to it. And I think Britain 100% were at a disadvantage in terms of ground game and grappling and wrestling, because it's so ingrained in American culture. But at the same time, you know, we've got a lot of young guys coming up. Arnold Allen is absolutely incredible. And Nathaniel Wood in Cage Warriors is doing great things as well. So, I couldn't tell you why Polish fighters are kind of on the rise at the moment, but I think it just depends on the kind of training that you can get. And I think For British fighters, you kind of need to go out to America. So I know a lot of our guys have gone out to American Top Team and those kind of places. So, yeah, I think it's just a case of doing that and then taking it to the next level, really.
All right.
So you mentioned in the book a little bit about how women's sports don't seem to be covered as well as men's sports in the UK. How there just is kind of this disconnect. Do you see that at all as part of why women or even MMA fighters in general don't get the rankings or, you know, don't
because pretty much because of their popularity, they don't get the bigger fights. They don't get the notoriety.
Do you see any connection between those?
I think in terms of rankings and that kind of thing, I'm not too sure if there's any correlation in terms of that. But yeah, in terms of whether or not the media could push British fighters more, I think 100% they could. I think, and it's a bit sad really, because if you look at people like Kate Jackson, who's a very humble, respectful fighter, you know, she's one where it kind of pains me to say it, but you know, if she kind of trash talked a bit more and had a bit of a bigger profile, then maybe she would have been in the UFC by now. I mean, she's doing great things. She just fought Valerie Letourneau in Bellator, but yeah, I think the media could be doing a lot more. I think in terms of coverage, the BBC, I just don't really think their coverage is there right now. I think it's the same in terms of the Times as well, the Guardian as well. I think the Guardian, they seem to kind of ignore MMA and unless it's something about Michael Bisping. I mean, having said that, the BBC have just got a podcast come out with Dan Hardy and a few other British journalists, which is really, really good. So, yeah, it's heading in the right direction, but I definitely think the media could be doing more. But yeah, I think in terms of women's sports in general, this country, the coverage is actually really good. BT Sport, who are one of the main broadcasters here, do plenty to sort of big up women's sport in Britain. And one of our tennis players, Joanna Konta, just got to the semi-finals of Wimbledon. And yeah, she's blowing up as well. So obviously, we know all about the likes of Nicola Adams as well. And I think historically, we've had the likes of Jessica Ennis Hill in athletics. So yeah, I think generally the coverage of women's sport in Britain is it's OK. It's definitely getting there. But I think we need to do more to show the likes of the BBC and the Times that, you know, there's more to MMA than Conor McGregor. So, yeah.
Sure.
And, you know, you can't talk MMA anymore without mentioning Conor McGregor.
Oh, no, you can't. You really can't.
I do want to thank our guest, Alistair Hendry, for joining us to talk about his book, Fight Game. And if you think that interview ended rather abruptly, you would be correct. Because as we mentioned at the very beginning of this episode, we had issues with Skype today. I can't even tell you how many issues we had. So we apologize to Alistair. We thank him for his immense patience with us as we went through those technical difficulties. He's really a great guy, and he was so patient and so kind about all of those issues. And I don't know if it was the internet, if it was our system, if it was his system, if the universe just did not want us to talk about women's MMA with Alistair today. But we did get the 23 minutes of the interview, and you get a good idea about what his book is about. We weren't able to get the part that he wanted us to talk about his website. And he's got a couple of things that he wanted us to mention. So I'm going to make sure that I do that because I said that I would. And those things are that he has written a feature on Bryony Tyrell and Cyborg versus Anderson recently, and those are on his website. Also, he has an excerpt from the book with Rosie Sexton discussing training at SBG Manchester. So if you're interested a little bit more in the book, you can go to Alistair's website for that excerpt, as well as his features on Bryony Tyrell and Cyborg versus Anderson. His website is ahendrysportsjournal.blogspot.co.uk. And then you can find the excerpt, and that is under Rosie Sexton discusses humble beginnings. So that's a very long URL. I will put that in the notes of this episode so that you can see it. You can also find all of his other writings on his website so you can see that. He also wanted us to mention that you can now get the book on Kindle through Amazon, but you don't need a Kindle to read it. He wanted us to make sure that you knew that the app is free on all platforms. So you can get it through Kindle on or through Amazon on Kindle, but you do not have to have a Kindle to read it. So once again, we thank our guest Alistair Hendry for joining us. We encourage you to go check out his book, go check out his website, and we hope to have him on the show again and have fewer technical issues. Thank you for joining me for this special episode of the GSMC MMA podcast. Please tune in tomorrow for Tate's next episode discussing all of the events happening around the MMA, from UFC to Bellator to Invicta to all kinds of news that is happening in the world of MMA. In the meantime, you can find all of our podcasts at www.gsmcpodcast.com. You can download those podcasts on SoundCloud, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, any app that you use for your mobile devices, and you can follow us on social media. We would love to interact with you on social media. You can find us at Facebook and Twitter. We are GSMC_MMA. Please come and tell us what you think. And also let Alistair know what you think of the book if you go check it out. And I encourage you to do so if you're a fan of MMA, especially women's MMA. Thank you so much for joining me. Again, please join Tate tomorrow for his next episode. And in the meantime, hope you're having a wonderful end of your weekend, and tomorrow's the wonderful beginning of your week. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts MMA Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.